Welcome to Two Dummies in a Microphone with your host, John L. Lucas.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to Two Dummies and a Microphone. I know that we haven't been as productive as we would like to be, but life throws you curveballs, and here we are. Yeah, so, but it's been fun. What have you been doing? Anything?
So they got me temporarily assigned to a ship, so I'm no longer on shore duty for the next four or so months for the summer. The Navy for some reason just like hates giving me summers off, so I'm on a new ship. The reason why they sent me there is to help them out and get through whatever cert they're going through. But I'm going to tell you my expectation when I got told I was going there to help a ship out, and my experience as an inspector and what I've seen when ships need help versus what I got when I got there. Their crew is pretty good, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not going to disparage them in any way, shape, or form because they are killing it right now. They just don't have enough people. They're manned to like 70% or something like that.
Oh, good night.
So like average is like 300 or so, and they're sitting at 280. So they're,
yeah, I mean, that would put a damper on certain aspects of what you're able to do and accomplish throughout the day.
That, and like they're hurting more on the leadership side, right? So the experience and everything like that, they don't have. So they have a lot of E5s and below, but yeah, not a lot of E6 and above.
Right? I gotcha.
So
that upper management.
Yeah, so you got people that want to work, right? But they either A, have never done whatever we're asking them to do before, so they don't have that experience. Not that they can't do it. It's just that there's a difference between someone with experience doing something and somebody that's inexperienced learning as they go, right?
Yeah, for sure.
One, you're going to make a ton of mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one way that you, like, they'll be better for it in the long run making those mistakes. But I mean, at the same time, it sucks doing that because it's really just trial by fire.
It's trial by fire. And it's also, I'm not going to say a waste of time because like you said, the mistakes you learn from, right? But when you don't have enough time to really spare, because that, that date doesn't change.
You don't have time to make those mistakes and redo it over again.
Do it over again, or something that would take me like 2 hours to do takes them a whole day to do, right? Yeah. So when I went over there, I was expecting some people that didn't know anything and they were just all disorganized, and that was not the case. So needless to say, I was happy. Now yeah, I could do what I love doing, which is just running around troubleshooting stuff. Dang, dude. I could do this job where I just go onto a ship or whatever and help them fix their equipment and train them on doing that, and then
that'd be the best.
I would do that for the rest of my life.
Like, yeah, that'd be the best.
Yeah, whatever. I'll help you fix whatever you need. Even systems I'm not familiar with, which I've been texting you a lot.
You have been. And it's been fun. Because like it brings back memories. And then it's always good to and I got fully invested. Now, I mean, we'll talk off mic, but the status of what's going on.
Off mic we can talk, but I have no statuses. They're supposed to be going in there today. So
gotcha.
Maybe later today I'll get something, but
hopefully I've become fully invested in this problem.
Me too. Me too. So, but yeah, that's been going on with me. My kids have all been sick. So Lincoln got sick last week. He got Benny sick. Blanda got sick. I'm like the last one holding out that hasn't gotten sick, and not COVID, just like a really bad cold that I think is going around.
Yeah. That's been running through our house too. Troy was sick, and then Leo came back from his dad's and he was sick, and then Alexis got sick, and yesterday I had a headache and a stuffy nose, and then today I just have like a runny nose, been sneezing a lot. So definitely I think it's just the changing of the seasons. Like I don't know.
I've been pretty solid, dude. Like no stuffy nose, no headaches, nothing. It's just I'm tired because I wake up early.
Yeah,
I've been getting up at night for Benny because Belinda's been sick, so she's NyQuil'd out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. It was nice, though. I mean, it would have been better if Benny wasn't sick, but I had the last 2 days off where I got to just stay home with him. And I don't know, he tortures me a little bit. I torture him a little bit. Like trying to get on the podcast today was painful. You need to distract.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Got to keep him occupied. That's the biggest thing I've been through. You know, when we first started this,
yeah,
you know, trying to set up popcorn and a movie and just like keep him quiet and not come in there for at least a good 40 minutes. And then after that, it's kind of.
Yeah. So I'm sure in when you edit this, you're going to be able to hear my phone in the other room because him. I have to have the door propped open because I'm the only one home. So
that's funny.
Keep an ear out. But yeah, he's watching. Sounds like Coco Melon. I'm not sure though.
We got some snacks. Coco Melon should be good.
Yeah. Bless you.
All right. But yeah, no, we haven't. I'm trying to think. We haven't really been doing anything. The weather's been hit or miss. Like every time we want to go and do something, the weather's terrible the next day.
Yeah. Oh, we went to Legoland.
How was that?
I haven't been to an amusement park in a long time.
Okay.
Long time. I think my 30th birthday was the last time.
When you went to Florida to go to Disney World?
Yeah, like around then. So what? I turned 35 this year.
Sure. I'm 36. So yeah, you're 35.
Okay. This was like episode one.
Yeah.
I never remember how old I am. But yeah, so like around that time we went for Lincoln's second birthday, and Disneyland is cool, right? If you get like the resort package, which is what we did, you have like a couple rapid passes to get you in and out of rides quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Legoland doesn't quite do that, so you have to pay for each ride you want to get on.
Oh, that's whack.
$35 per ride to get that rapid pass.
That's just one ride. Like you can't. Do it multiple times?
No, that's just one. It'll save your spot one time in line. Right. So the waits aren't as bad as Disney.
Okay. Right?
So like the longest wait was 1 hour and 10 minutes.
That's still terrible.
It's long, but it's not like 3 hours long.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
It's not like that's the only thing you're going to do that day.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to change the way I thought about amusement parks. Because the first couple times I went there, I'm like, I never want to come back here again. This is stupid. This was all in the morning. Belinda doesn't know about it. She'll hear about it when we air this. But I was pretty upset and frustrated at how long the lines were, like around lunchtime.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, why would I ever want to come back to this park? And then I had to shift my mindset a little bit. Like, okay, the rides that I went on were cool. I enjoyed my time on them. Right. The wait wasn't that bad because they have like little play areas in the middle for your kids to play.
Oh, yeah.
So while you're waiting in line, they can go build Legos or
that's a definite
or whatever. Right. So that made the wait a little bit better. Right. So I'm like, all right, they're only open from 10 to 6. It's like 30 minutes away. We come here. We go on like 5-6 rides. Right. We eat. Get the kids some fun and out of the house. And then we go home. And the next time we just won't ride the same 5 or 6 rides. We'll go to the ones that we didn't try.
Okay.
Right. And then you can just keep going and it'll be a different experience every time you go. And once I accepted that in my brain, I'm like, all right, cool.
So you don't have to get everything done today.
Legoland is not that bad. Yeah. Cause when we were kids and we would go to Six Flags, dude, the goal was to ride every roller coaster.
Yeah.
Every roller coaster before we went home. Right. And I don't know, mid-90s, the waits were not as bad as they are now.
Well, they weren't as bad. And then I had read an article the other day talking about how they're just, and it goes back to inflation, about how much more expensive everything is and to do. And then they don't have enough people to work all the rides or keep up with everything. And so it makes it frustrating. Like, but I remember going to Dollywood out in Tennessee, and you would pay for a park pass and it wasn't like $35 for each ride. You just buy a ticket and you can go and ride all the roller coasters
so, or
whatever at the park.
Legoland is like that if you don't want the Rapid Express or whatever the fuck they call it.
Mm.
But you pay for the ticket into the park, which is I think is like $75 per person and kids are cheaper.
Yeah.
You pay for parking. And then when you're in there, you can do whatever you want. Wait in lines, go eat food, go watch the shows or whatever, right? Go on any ride that you want, but you cannot like save your spot in line unless you have a physical person there, or you pay the $35 for the reserve and ride, I think is what they call it.
Ah, I see what you're talking
per
about.
Ride, right? Where mm-hmm. Disney gives you like, you pay for it and you get 3 a day or something like that.
Yeah, no, I got you.
I don't remember.
Okay.
They don't have any deals like that. I don't know if it's because Disney like copyrighted some shit, but because if I had to pay $150, right, and I got to reserve 3 rides per day per person, like that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But no.
That's terrible.
Or maybe like $110. $150 is a little bit much, but.
But yeah, y'all are close. Like everybody else that comes from out of state or out of country, like that's an expensive trip.
It is.
Or it can be.
It's a really expensive trip. Some people spend like $1,200-$1,300 there. I think I spent like
It's a hard pass for me there.
I was probably at like $300 or $400.
I mean, that's not bad. I mean, you could swing that.
That's not bad at all for one of Lincoln's birthday presents.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it's been that. I built the playset in the backyard for the kids, which I'm not done yet with. It's enough to where they're not gonna fall off and die. And there's a slide that they can go and play on, and I cleaned up all the screws and stuff, but I want to put the walls up because the downstairs area is going to be like different zones, I guess you could call it. Uh-huh. One wall will be a store. The back wall will be a bunker. The side wall will be like a train station. And then there's like a house wall.
Yeah. You got to keep them. Got to keep them occupied. Yeah. Cause is Lincoln out of school yet or no?
No, dude. I think next week.
Oh yeah,
they run school late here. It's late and it starts early. Like they have really short summers.
Hey, I'm fine with that. That's like the boys got 2 more weeks in school, and I think they go back like the day after, or the Friday before Labor Day. Like they go to school Friday, and then Labor Day is on a Monday or whatever day it is, and then they have that day off, and they go back to school.
Yeah, I feel like summers were longer when we were kids, dude.
They were. I mean, because you, like, I remember getting out and at the end of May and then not going back until
September.
Mid-September. Yeah.
Well, it was always June for me, like the first week of June, and I would not go back to school till like mid-September.
Yeah.
It was like a good 3 months. Like good 3 months. Now they get like 2.
Yeah, until everybody started working and can't keep them out of school that long, and people need jobs and.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
But yeah, so I think we've decided, or Lucas decided.
I didn't quite decide. It was a question that I posed.
That you posed.
While I was taking a dump a couple weeks ago.
Like, if you go through and read our description, it's just us two hanging out. But I think that we're going to shift direction.
Yeah.
And Lucas came to fruition of a new idea or a new niche that we could dive into that we found kind of funny once we actually started doing the research for all these types of things. But it's basically like.
So it's just a question, right? Like I asked you a question.
Yeah.
Which is, what is the stupidest war or battle you've ever heard of?
It was that. Yeah. I was thinking like imaginary war.
Yeah.
Game war or like regular war.
Which it makes sense, right? Because you wouldn't think that a war would be stupid.
No.
But that wasn't the question that I wanted you to answer. and it all came like I was doing work, you know, when you're sitting on the toilet, like surfing the internet, right? On your phone. And I came across multiple references on Reddit, especially about the Great Emu War that happened in Australia. And I was like, this can't be real. So I looked it up and sure shit, it was real. So I asked John, what's the stupidest war he's ever heard of? Because that to me is the stupidest one. And he hadn't heard of any.
I had none.
Yeah, none. Zero. Right. So I told him about the Great Emu War, which we're preparing like a pretty good episode on it right now. And then we started researching and there were a lot more.
There were a bunch more. And, I mean, they go off to the emu war that Lucas is talking about, to
the watermelon riots, the
pastry wars down in Mexico. Like, there's all types of things.
All types of things where a war was started over something really minor and silly that by the end of it, no one remembers why they started it. Or just the whole premise of it is dumb. Like,
yeah,
an entire nation against a flightless bird.
Yes.
So we were thinking, why not give these stories a platform or a way to get out there so more people can learn an interesting and somewhat silly little factoid and tidbit of history instead of all the big stuff.
Yeah. You got to deep dive down into the things that people don't talk about.
Yes. And I'm not going to lie, the Great Emu War, I thought was going to be easy because it's referenced so much, right? But I've been doing a lot of research and it's hard to come across some of this stuff. Right. Yeah. So we'll do all that work and you get to just take benefit from it.
Yeah, you can just sit back and relax and listen to this this nonsense history that we're going to bestow upon you.
True. And it's all going to be true, right?
Yeah. That's what I found most interesting.
Yeah.
It's like all this stuff actually happened. Like, people actually died over the things that were going to come out.
Well, I mean, the Great Emu War, nobody died.
Emus died.
Emus died. Not many, but emus died.
But I mean, they still documented it.
Yeah.
And we have footage.
We do have footage of dead emus. I showed that to you earlier when we were doing, I was doing my research. I guess we could get into a little bit right now, but just to give it like a little whet the appetite type deal. In the 1918s, that was the end of World War One.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was the war to end all wars, right? Everyone like recruited, got their armies up. And when I say everyone, it was the whole world, right? They increased manufacturing, a whole bunch of shit. And now they went to war. The war is now over. And all these soldiers go home, right? Whatever they were doing before, they are not doing it anymore, right? And the massive war industrial complex that every nation probably put together now needs another job. So Australia decided, hey, we got like, I don't know, I think... Let me double check my numbers right here.
It's like 20,000.
5,000. They had about 5,000 veterans that came back and needed something to do. So they parceled off like 90,000 hectares of land and gave it to these soldiers and said, hey, here you go. Make something out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The land, though, it wasn't in a good spot, right? This is Western Australia, very drought heavy areas, right?
Yeah.
And they were going to have to like work the shit out of the land to make something out of it. So the soldiers, now farmers, decided to grow wool, right? And different crops. But
how do you grow wool?
You have sheep and then you grow the sheep, you shear the sheep, and now you have wool.
Okay.
Maybe I should have phrased that differently.
How do you grow wool?
The sheep does the wool growing, you just cut it off of it.
All right, I'll buy that.
So this was going on pretty good, and then around the late 1920s, early 1930s, the Great Depression hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they needed food. So the Australian government said, hey, all you farmers on this land, grow more wheat because we need wheat. Right. Meanwhile, Australia got hit with the drought and the emus said, hey, we need to move from where we're at. We need to go somewhere else. So they started traversing across Australia, much like emus do.
Mm-hmm.
They came across these farms with water and food and like, this is nice. I'm just going to stay here.
Found a little oasis.
Yeah, they found a little oasis, dude. And then they started to like pretty much tear down the fences. Cause I don't know if you've ever seen an emu. I've seen some in zoos. They're pretty fucking big.
Yeah. I don't think they're as big as ostriches.
They're not as big as ostriches, but they're pretty
big. Still big enough that they could either hop over a fence, or if you get enough of them.
No, they'll tear through that shit, dude.
Yeah.
They can kick the crap out of some stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. So they decided to, this is where we're staying, dude. So in the 1920s, they had a bounty system for emus because emus were considered a nuisance wildlife in Australia.
Okay.
And different species. Now there's only two, I think. Well, the article I read from like the 1980s said there was only two species left. But yes, they're trying to make a comeback now. But this is kind of why they disappeared. It was a bounty system, and it just wasn't working out for the farmers. And a lot of these farmers were old soldiers, right? So they petitioned the government and said, hey, can you send us some machine guns so we can deal with these emus and give you the wheat that you want, right?
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. And Mr. Pierce, I think, is the guy's name. He's like a parliamentary representative for Western Australia. And I'll get the facts right for the actual podcast of this. Mm-hmm. That's a fabulous idea. But our army military personnel are the ones that have to operate the machine guns. And the farmer's like, yeah, sure. Fuck it. That sounds good. Get rid of the fucking emus, right? They're tearing down my fences. My worst nemesis, the rabbits, are coming in. They're fucking up my crops. Right. So they sent, what's his name?
Meredith.
GPW Meredith. He was a major in the Australian Army, I think. Or he was a major in the Royal Australian Artillery Division, right? So he knew his guns, right? So they sent Meredith down there with his guns, his machine guns, and he had two additional soldiers with him to take care of the emu problem.
That's all he brought.
What? Yeah, it was only three people.
Good night.
Like, that's all I found so far. It was three people. And they had different machine guns, and they were trying to take out as many emus as possible. Their directions by the government was to bring back 100 emu skins so they can make helmets for the for their army people, right? We'll get all that sorted out later. But he goes down there with these machine guns and start shooting at the emus, and they scatter because emus don't like being shot at.
Yeah, I mean. Right?
They run off. So then the locals try to herd them together, and they start to shoot again, and then their guns get jammed, right? By the end of the war, the first war, they were, depending on who you ask, they killed either 50 emus or 300 emus. The 200 to 300 emus are coming from the soldiers and the locals. The 50 emus are coming from the surveyors. So you make your determination on how successful this was.
Well, my question is that you said the first war?
Yeah, well, first attempt at the first engagement, we'll call it, right?
Okay. First skirmish. So I was like, how many wars did they get into with these things?
There's at least four, three. Well, there's two on Wikipedia, but I think that there's one more, right? And then there was a fourth one because they asked for it again. And then the Australian government was like, no.
Well, y'all didn't finish the first time.
They didn't do well enough, right? The deal that the government had with these farmers was, hey, we'll send these people down there, but you need a house, feed them, and pay for their ammunition.
Okay.
Guns, we'll give you the people, but that's the deal.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Sounds good. The gun they were using were called Lewis guns. I don't know if you know what that looks like, but it's a machine gun with the drum that sits on top of it.
Okay.
Our first intruder, dude. So he, it's got a drum on top of it, and then it fires. I'm trying to get how many rounds each drum takes, right?
Oh, we'll figure all that stuff out.
So we'll figure out the amount of rounds and stuff that fit in a drum and give you like the gun facts, because they are pretty cool looking guns based on what I saw in the video. So anyway, they attack these emus, right? And what kind of got me into it is the way that the Wikipedia article I read described Meredith's account of the attack on the emus, right? And I'll just read this part for you. The machine gunner's dream of point-blank fire into a serried masses of emus were soon dissipated. The emu command had evidently ordered guerrilla tactics, and its unwieldy army soon split up into innumerable small units that made use of military equipment uneconomic. A crestfallen field force therefore withdrew from the combat area after about a month. So essentially the emus were moving around, right? And breaking up into smaller units. And while they were doing this, each unit had their own emu leader, the way it was described.
That's funny.
6 foot tall emu with black feathers per group. Right. And each group was smaller. And that one emu would keep an eye out. So whenever Meredith and his guys showed up with the guns, they would move their little platoon somewhere else.
That's funny.
Out of range of the guns and stuff like that, or scatter and meet up somewhere else. So he couldn't effectively kill these birds the way he wanted to.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to look at what type of guns these are, because you think about it, I mean, it's a 1918, 1920 time frame.
So this all happened around 1932, right?
1932.
Yeah.
So thinking about machine guns, are they like able to be carried in your hand, or are they stationary and have to be set up on a tripod?
So the videos,
like a Gatling gun, or
it was shot like two different ways that I saw. Well, three really, and I'll get into this part too. But the first way was tripod on the top of a trench, like you would a normal like M240, right?
Yeah.
Another way I saw was shot was on one of the soldier's shoulders. So the shooter was standing behind him. He was on his knees, and then he had the machine gun on his shoulder, just Damn. Fucking unloading, yeah, yeah. Right? And then the third way, and the funniest way to me, is Meredith had it mounted on the back of a truck, right? And they had people videotaping this happening, but that ultimately proved unsuccessful because, again, 1930s, shocks aren't as good as they are today.
Oh, for sure. It's bouncing all over the place trying to shoot the thing.
Gunner was bouncing all over the place, couldn't hit the broadside of a fucking barn, and the truck ended up tipping over.
That's funny.
So, which threatened, turned Meredith into a cussing asshole, threatening to whoop the cameraman's ass if he released the footage. So, that's needless funny. To say, I'm trying to find that footage.
Yeah, I know we definitely need to find that.
At the end of all of this, I already said anywhere from 50 to 300 birds were killed. The government called it a rousing success, even though it took each emu roughly 10 rounds to take down.
Good night.
Right. So after the second attempt, it was somewhere around 1,000, and they expended around 9,860 rounds. So
yeah, that kill to ammo ratio is not
good. It's not good at all. Right. Which is why the bounty system was a lot more successful, right? Like, yeah. You just go out there with a hunting rifle, one shot, one kill normally. Yeah. Maybe two if you're bad. Five at the most, I would say, right? But it can't be that hard to snipe a 6 foot tall bird.
No. Right? Or just put some bird feed down that's got some poison in it and just kill them.
Yeah, they would do that too, right? But I'm trying to keep it weapons of war.
Oh, yeah.
Versus all that good stuff. So that's pretty much where I'm at
with chemical,
warfare. Biological, radiological.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at right now with the research of it. I'm pretty excited to learn more about it. So even though Meredith claims that they won the Great Emu War, everyone else says that Australia lost.
I mean,
because they didn't deal with culling with the emus. They kept coming back.
Yeah.
Even after that one month thing, 10 rounds to take down one bird. And this isn't like a 22 rifle
bullet,
right? This is a bigger gun. I need to find out what caliber a Lewis gun is, but they're not cheap.
No.
Right. So, yeah, it definitely was not good. And it was a war of attrition, right? The emus stayed, even though they took heavy losses, they're still there while Meredith and his army of two others gave up.
When you told me that it was an army, I was thinking more people.
I was too.
But I was totally surprised when you said there was just him and two other dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're like, you have to house them and buy them.
Yeah, that's why. Like,
feed them. It's two people.
It's two people. Well, three total with
them. Well, yeah.
Right. You gotta count the brass in there too, even though they don't do a lot of the heavy lifting. Oh man. But yeah, it's pretty I'm pretty stoked learning about how silly this shit is, though, for sure.
Yeah. But I think that we'll keep doing the things that we normally do, but this is gonna be our base
what keeps people coming back, I guess you could say.
Well,
like, we help you come back for us, but
in the end all be all, you're gonna get some silly stuff out of us regardless whether we're talking about silly wars or silly things. But yeah, this is, I think this will be a good direction, because then it gives us something,
a launching pad for the day or the week or whatever.
Yeah, and then we're not trying to reach out into the metaverse of what are we going to talk about or what do we find interesting, which we still will, but just not as in depth as we normally would.
Or, I mean, I won't even say as in depth. We won't have to, it'll just come more naturally, I would say.
Yeah.
Instead of just trying to find something and forcing in a, I guess I'm interested in this.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm stoked for it.
All right. Well, Zoom has cut our time off. Y'all should write an email to Zoom and let us record for longer.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes and 51 seconds.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's it then.
That's it for today.
Yeah.
We got something.
We got something to put out, which makes it even
hopefully
better.
Y'all look forward to hearing what we have to put out
in
the future. And go and support us, share. All the social media is still going to be the same. At Two Dummies Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, all that good stuff.
Yep.
All right, man. Until next time.
Yeah.
Later. All right, later.